Kathy Best, the ODA Managing Editor and host of Oddcast. This episode is a special episode focused specifically on advocacy as we prepare for ODA Day at the State House next week on April 26th. In today's episode, we'll be talking about legislation at the State House related to dentistry, including legislation to improve access to dental care, legislation to create a mid-level provider in Ohio, and legislation to stop insurance companies from setting fees for services they do not cover. If you're interested in attending Day at the State House and speaking to your legislators about any of these issues, please visit oda.org/events or call the ODA at 614-486-2700. I'm here with ODA Executive Director David Oshani to talk about new data that was recently released about oral health and access to care in Ohio. Dave, can you tell us about this new data?
Sure, Jackie. Last year, the Ohio Department of Health contracted with the Health Policy Institute of Ohio to perform the state health assessment for Ohio. Now, the state health assessment is a comprehensive picture of overall health and well-being for Ohio, so it's much broader than just oral health. But the oral health aspect of the state health assessment provided some valuable information on the progress that is being made within oral health. For instance, the state health assessment found that over the last 5 years, the number of children with unmet dental needs declined by over 30%. And in fact, in 2015, the last year measured, only 4.6% of Ohio children had unmet dental needs. Again, that's 30% better than it was just 5 years earlier. Also, adults fared well in the state health assessment. According to the state health assessment, over 65% of adults had visited a dentist in Ohio within the previous 12 months, which is above the national average of 64%. Also, Ohio fares well in population to dentist ratio. As a matter of fact, in 2015, the last year measured, the population to dentist ratio was about 1,700 to 1, which is much better than the national average. Nationally, the population to dentist ratio is almost 2,600 to 1. So we have more dentists in Ohio, relatively speaking to population, than the national average. And that will probably get better. The Ohio State University College of Dentistry is planning to expand its class size by 10 each year as it rebuilds its dental school facility. So that means that at any one time, there'll be 40 additional dental students at Ohio State University College of Dentistry. That means each year, 10 more dental students will graduate from the College of Dentistry, and those 10 spots are actually reserved for dental students who come from underserved area. And we know that statistics show that someone that comes from a rural area is more likely to go back to a rural area to practice dentistry. So there's a lot of good news in the state health assessment for oral health. Addressing access to care requires a multi-pronged strategy. So there have been several things going on within the state of Ohio that we think are having an impact on improving the oral health of both children and adults. One program I'd mentioned is the ODA's Give Kids a Smile program, which celebrated its 15th anniversary this year. In 2017, nearly 2,000 dentists and other volunteers participated in 96 different events across Ohio. 18,000 Ohio kids got care and oral health screening and oral health education. A total of almost $1 million in free care was provided by Ohio dentists in the Give Kids a Smile program in 2017, and that has been a continuing annual effort. Also, the Dental Options Program, which is a partnership between the Ohio Department of Health and the ODA, whereby dentists provide free and reduced fee dental care to underserved populations, has continually provided care for thousands of Ohioans across the state of Ohio. Over the last decade, Ohio's dentists have funded the Ohio Dentist Loan Repayment Program, where dozens of dentists who have recently graduated from dental school and they have significant dental school student loan have relocated to underserved areas and are providing care to underserved populations in rural and urban settings. We also know that Ohio's dental schools have demonstrated a commitment to ensuring their students are involved in providing care to the underserved, and in the process that enhances the students' social and cultural awareness, so when they graduate they're very conscious of providing care in underserved settings. Through the Ohio State University's College of Dentistry's Oral Health Improvement Through Outreach Project, the Ohio Project, fourth-year dental students spend up to 50 days providing care in community clinics throughout Ohio under the supervision of faculty and alumni. We also know that the Case Western Reserve School of Dental Medicine's Healthy Smile Sealant Program, dental students are providing exams and sealants to students all across the Cleveland Metropolitan School District. So there are many strategies providing care to the underserved as well as providing prevention to Ohio's children to address the access to care issue here in Ohio. While the state health assessment provides validation that Ohio is making progress in improving access to dental care, it also identifies areas for improvement, especially related to oral health disparities. We know that there are still pockets of Ohioans who would benefit from the expansion of our current efforts to provide high-quality dental care. As we have constantly done throughout our 151-year history, the ODA will continue to find innovative solutions to ensure all Ohioans have access to a full range of oral health services that only a dentist is trained to provide.
What are some of those solutions, Dave?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, while Ohio does not have a shortage of dentists, there is a geographic distribution issue. So some of our strategies have focused on trying to ensure that we create incentives for dentists to relocate and to provide care in areas where we know there are shortages. A couple of examples. I mentioned earlier that Ohio State University College of Dentistry is planning on expanding its class size by 10 students per year. That's important because those 10 new spots are designated for dental students who come from rural areas and other shortage areas. The statistics show that a dental student that comes from an underserved area, that comes from a rural area, is more likely to go back to one of those areas upon graduation to establish his or her dental practice. Similarly, about a decade ago, the Ohio Dental Association advocated for the creation of the Ohio Dentist Loan Repayment Program. We know that dental students are graduating with a significant amount of debt, in excess of $200,000 in most cases, and so it creates difficulties for recent graduates to practice in a rural area or an urban area and to be able to provide care through the Medicaid program and to provide other access to care solutions. Through the Dentist Loan Repayment Program, which is entirely funded by a surcharge on Ohio's dentist license fees, students, recent graduates who have significant debt can relocate to underserved areas and receive loan repayment in excess of $25,000 a year if they agree to go to an underserved area and provide care to Medicaid eligible and other underserved patients. Through that program, over the last decade, dozens of dentists have relocated to underserved areas and are providing care. We are advocating for a new piece of legislation called the Ohio Dental Care Optimization Act, House Bill 184, which will effectively double the Ohio Dentist Loan Repayment Program that will expand the number of dentists practicing in designated shortage areas, treating Medicaid eligible and other underserved patients. House Bill 184 will also update Ohio's dental laws to allow for the use of teledentistry to extend care into underserved areas. This legislation will also enhance the ability of dentists to utilize their auxiliaries, dental hygienists, certified dental assistants, EFTAs, to provide prevention dental services in schools and other public health settings. This new legislation also creates Choose Ohio First scholarships for dental school scholarships. So dental students who agree to participate in designated underserved areas upon graduation can receive scholarships for dental school. Finally, House Bill 184 will promote licensure portability to enhance Ohio's attractiveness as a state in which qualified dentists will establish their dental practices. As you can see, we're taking a comprehensive approach to addressing access to dental care, but our overarching principle is to ensure that all Ohioans have access to a dentist.
So, Dave, are there any strategies other states have used that might also be effective in Ohio?
One of the most effective strategies that we've seen in other states are states that address their dental Medicaid reimbursements. Over the last 17 years here in Ohio, Ohio's dental Medicaid fees have only been adjusted just once, and that was in 2016, where we advocated and received an increase in reimbursements across the state for extractions and denture repairs. We also secured a 5% fee increase for all dental procedures, in 52 rural counties. And while this adjustment was welcome, the reality is that Medicaid dental reimbursements in Ohio have fallen to levels that make it extremely difficult for dentists to participate as providers in the Medicaid program. Ohio currently reimburses at about 40% of a dentist's regular fee. We know that in the typical dental office, overhead is about 60 to 65%. So in reality, in most dental practices, dentists can't afford to take Medicaid patients. They literally lose money on every dental Medicaid patient they take. That is not a system that can be viable long term. So one of the things Ohio has to come to grips with is investing in the dental Medicaid program so more dentists can participate in the dental Medicaid program. In states that have done that, that pay 60 to 65% of a dentist's regular fee, those states have seen significantly more dentists participate in the Medicaid program, and those dentists that participate in the Medicaid program are able to treat more patients because they can make their ends meet and cover their overhead. We need to pursue similar innovative strategies in Ohio to ensure that we have a viable dental Medicaid program.
Thanks for all of this great information, Dave, about House Bill 184. We will have updates about this legislation and upcoming issues of the ODA today. I also have Nathan DeLong, ODA Director of Legal and Legislative Services, here to give us an update about what else is going on at the State House.
Yeah, so Dave covered several strategies the ODA has pursued in the past and is continuing to pursue going forward to improve access to quality dental care in Ohio. As many are aware by now, the Kellogg Foundation has been funding an effort in Ohio through the Universal Healthcare Action Network, also known as UCAN Ohio, to promote the creation of a new provider called a dental therapist. This proposal is being marketed as the solution for solving Ohio's access to care problems.
So what exactly does this proposal involve?
This concept would allow a dental therapist with just 3 years of training after high school to engage a very broad scope of practice that includes diagnosis, treatment planning, irreversible surgical procedures such as extractions and restorations, administration of local anesthesia, as well as supervision of dental hygienists and dental assistants.
So what's the status of this proposal in Ohio right now?
Last year, during the 131st General Assembly, dental therapist legislation was introduced for the first time here in Ohio. Senate Bill 330 was introduced by Senator Peggy Lehner, a Republican out of Kettering, along with three other co-sponsors. Fortunately, the bill received very little interest from the committee and ended up dying at the end of session after receiving only two hearings. However, a new bill has already been reintroduced in the new session. Senate Bill 98, which is identical to the previous bill, Senate Bill 330, was introduced in March by Senator Peggy Lehner along with, this time, only one co-sponsor, Senator Cecil Thomas, a Democrat out of Cincinnati. The bill has been referred to the Senate Health, Human Services, and Medicaid Committee.
And so where does the ODA stand on this issue?
Well, while the ODA has long been and remains committed to improving access to care, the association strongly opposes this proposal because it presents an unnecessary risk to the health of Ohio's most vulnerable dental patients and is a diversion of resources that are better utilized supporting programs proven to improve access to quality dental care. To break that down a bit more, dental therapists are often compared to physician assistants or nurse practitioners. As we all know, this is not an apples-to-apples comparison, considering physician assistants and nurse practitioners receive at least 6 to 7 years of training, while Senate Bill 98 requires only 3 years of training for dental therapists. Furthermore, the procedures authorized for dental therapists under Senate Bill 98 are much more invasive than those authorized for PAs or NPs. Quite simply, 3 years of training is completely inadequate for such a broad scope of practice, including irreversible surgical procedures. As I mentioned, this proposal is being marketed as a solution to Ohio's access to care problems, based on the assumption that such dental therapists would serve the pockets of the state where there are currently not enough dentists.
So, Nathan, are dental therapists practicing in any other states?
Currently, Minnesota is the only state where dental therapists are practicing statewide. Based on the most current data from the Minnesota program, dental therapists tend to gravitate toward urban areas at the same rate as dentists. In Minnesota, 45 of the 52 dental therapists licensed since 2011 practice in a metropolitan area, whereas only 7 practice in a rural area, as supposedly intended. And for good reason, dental therapists face the same obstacles for relocating to those areas as dentists do. Furthermore, the number of dental healthcare professional shortage areas in Minnesota have increased since the dental therapist model was adopted, and policymakers there are finally realizing that it hasn't been the solution to improving access to care that they'd originally hoped for. In fact, policymakers in Minnesota in recent weeks have proposed significant increases in dental Medicaid reimbursement rates as they are finally recognizing that is the most effective way to improve access to care. Overall, Minnesota provides the best indication regarding the impact that dental therapists would have here in Ohio. Based on that data, Minnesota invested in a dental therapy program that has had no positive impact on improving access to care. In fact, it got worse, which is why the ODA believes the proposal is a diversion of resources that are better utilized supporting programs proven to improve access to safe, quality dental care, such as improving the dental Medicaid program, as well as the dentist loan repayment program and dental options program, as Dave has previously discussed. That being said, however, this effort has been funded in Ohio for several years now, so it's an issue that we as an association have to take seriously and stay on top of. The ODA's lobbying team continues to work on a regular basis to educate policymakers about the danger of this radical proposal, and we plan to resonate that same message from a grassroots level next week as over 100 dentists are registered to attend the ODA's Day at the State House on April 26th.
So Nathan, are there any other issues going on in Ohio that dentists should be aware of?
Yeah, so in addition to some of the other legislation that's been discussed, the ODA is also continuing to support non-covered services legislation.
And what does this legislation do?
In recent years, dental insurance plans have begun dictating fees for dental services that the insurance company does not even cover for enrollees. This legislation would simply prohibit this unfair practice. The ODA is asking for policymakers to support this legislation in order to protect patients' relationships with their dentists of choice and protect dental practices as small businesses.
Could you tell us a little bit more about this?
Sure. For example, there have been cases where dentists, upon learning about the non-covered services provision that was added to their contract in recent years, have realized the maximum allowable fee isn't even enough to cover their lab fees for the procedure. In that scenario, the dentist is faced with a choice between performing the procedure at a loss, resort to a less ideal treatment, or turn the patient away. Otherwise, the dentist would be in violation of his or her contract with the insurance company if they were to charge or accept a higher amount than the allowed fee, even if the patient agrees to do so in order to retain their preferred dentist. Therefore, this legislation is necessary to protect the patient's relationship with their dentist of choice.
So are there any groups that oppose this legislation?
There are actually several groups that oppose this legislation, which is the main reason we've been unable to pass it up until now. Of course, the dental insurers oppose the proposal, but also the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, Ohio Education Association, Westfield Insurance, as well as some unions.
So what are their reasons for opposing it?
A couple of reasons. Opponents of the legislation often question why dentists agree to such a term being in the contract in the first place if it's so unfair. The problem is that these provider contracts are standardized contracts that are offered on essentially a take-it-or-leave-it basis without affording the dentist any realistic opportunity to bargain or otherwise negotiate. Furthermore, many of these contracts are evergreen contracts that automatically renew. So in many instances, dentists sign the initial contracts long before the insurance industry was setting fees for non-covered services. Now that the dentists have a significant portion of their patient basis, perhaps 20, 30, 40, even more percent of their patient are enrollees of the insurance companies, the insurance company has now changed the rules. And most dentists aren't able to just walk away from these contracts and lose a significant portion of their patient base. Therefore, this legislation is also necessary to protect dental practices as small businesses. Another concern raised by opponents of non-covered services legislation is whether it will increase costs on dental services. However, 39 other states have already banned this practice by dental insurers with no reported increase in costs to consumers. Additionally, the National Conference of Insurance Legislators, also known as NCOIL, thoroughly studied the issue and adopted a model act for addressing this concern, which served as the basis for Ohio's legislation.
And what's the status of this legislation in Ohio right now?
Last session, the ODA supported House Bill 95, which was a dental non-covered services bill that was introduced by Representative Tony DeVitas. House Bill 95 passed the Ohio House of Representatives with bipartisan support, but unfortunately died at the end of session after stalling in the Senate. The good news is that a new bill, Senate Bill 87, has already been introduced this session in Ohio by Senators Bob Hackett, a Republican out of London, and Matt Huffman, a Republican out of Lima. Therefore, the ODA's lobbying team continues working to educate policymakers on how this reform will protect small business dental offices from these unfair practices, as well as ensure that dental insurance companies are not interfering with dentists and their patients on services that the insurers do not even cover. And again, we hope to resonate that same message on a grassroots level at the ODA's Day at the State House on April 26th.
Thanks so much, Nathan, for all this great information about what's going on at the State House that affects dentistry right now. And be sure to check the ODA today for updates on these important legislative issues. Thanks for listening to the Ohio Dental Podcast. Be sure to tune in next month when we'll be talking about the ODA annual session, electronic fund transfers, the ODA Foundation grant and scholarship opportunities, and a dentist's role in providing expert testimony. The views expressed in Oddcast are solely those of the individual and do not necessarily represent the view of the Ohio Dental Association. The speakers are intended to offer opinions, information, and general guidance and should not be construed as legal advice or as an endorsement by the ODA. Dentists should always seek the advice of their own legal counsel regarding specific circumstances.